And the reason why is because I normally at the end, the beginning of the year, I sit down, I go through the year and plan out my sermons. And as I was looking over again, I reevaluated every so often throughout the year. And I was going through it just this week, and I realized something. I did not finish the study we had on the devil. And we kind of left it three quarters the way through. And so I don't have any open slots Sunday evenings because we're going to go back to real life issues, and I have several real life issues I want to deal with Sunday evening. So we are going to take a break from the book of Exodus, and we are going to look at that here tonight. We're going to look at the ending here. Hopefully we can go through it all and complete it here this evening. But the last time we looked at this, I went back and looked at my notes. It was December the 8th is the last time that we looked at this study. So it's been a while. Hopefully you remember all of the messages. I looked today. All of the messages are on the website, and they're available. And we're trying to build out on the website. If you go to the main page, there's a Bible app there. You can open that up, and it's the Word of God, and it has Strong's and Greek and Hebrew Strong's numbers there, and you can search. And all of the studies that I've done, so we've gone through many books of the Bible. I shouldn't say all of them. Hopefully, Lord willing, they'll all be there in time. But all of the books of the Bible that we've been going through, we've studied through Philippians, we've studied through, we're going through Exodus now, Genesis, we went through the book of Isaiah, we went through Psalm 23. All of the sermons, they're all converted to commentaries and put on the books of the Bible. So you can click on the books of the Bible, and it shows the notes from the messages from the pulpit here. And then also, anytime there's like a victory verse, it's all noted there in the books of the Bible as well. And then all the sermons are connected as well. So you could be reading through a passage of scripture, and they'll have a notification saying there's a sermon on this passage of scripture. And so we're trying to link that all together. It still probably has some bugs, but you can look at it on kitcherbaptist.org /Bible. We'll get you there. And we are putting all the sermons on there as well. So you can take a look at it and test it out. If you see any bugs or experience any bugs, you can let me know, and we can try to iron those out or squash them right away. Let me give you an overview here, a very quick overview, because it's about 5 hours of content on the devil that we looked at over the course of the messages. We looked at the reality of the devil, and the idea of that is the devil is not a myth or a symbol. The devil is a real person. He was created being by God. Jesus affirmed the devil's existence through various scriptures. The scripture consistently presents the devil as a real person. And then denying his existence, denying that there is no devil, is one of the greatest deceptions that's in this world today. C.S. Lewis said there is two equal and opposite errors: to disbelieve in the devil or to feel excessive fear of him. And so the devil wants the world not to believe in him. He wants the world to believe in evolution, all of these things. To acknowledge that there is a spiritual world is to acknowledge that there's a God. And so I think in North America, the devil does a good job trying to hide that. We also looked at, flicking through my notes here, the origin of the devil. And we looked at where the devil came from. Satan, or Lucifer, was created as an angel. The Bible teaches us, created with intelligence, with beauty, and responsibility. He was a covering cherub, a high-ranking angel. Some believe that there were three archangels: Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer would have been the third, and Lucifer would have been the highest of all of those. And this is why Michael would not accuse Lucifer. We read about that in the book of Jude. Continuing here, I don't want to spend I don't want to spend all of our time reviewing. His rebellion, we talked about that, Isaiah chapter 14. One third of the angels fell with him. And these are demons that are in our world today, and they are in the spiritual realm as well. Then we looked at the names and titles of the devil. Lucifer literally means light bearer or morning star. Isaiah 14:12 talks about that. Anytime it talks about the devil in the Old Testament, it normally uses a physical king, a king that was reigning at that particular time, but uses that king and his rebellion to describe the rebellion of Lucifer. Here's some names that we looked at for Lucifer. Satan means adversary. We looked at devil means slanderer or accuser. He is the accuser of the brethren. We also looked at serpent in the Bible is the idea of deceiver, and the Bible refers to him as that old serpent. He's a tempter. Matthew 4:3, the Bible says, and when the tempter came to him, speaking of Jesus, he's called the tempter. He's also called the God of this world in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4. And so Satan influences, when it talks about the God, lowercase g, the God of this world, it talks about the fact that Satan influences the world's values. I mean, you look at this bill that's being passed to make the Bible illegal to preach. We know that's not from God, right? We know that that's not initiated from a spiritual individual, or that that's what God would have. We know that the devil is behind all of that. And so Satan influences the world's values. Satan controls the world's sinful system. Satan blinds the minds of unbelievers. We also looked at the fact that the names of the devil, he's the prince of the power of the air. Satan is not a king. He is a usurper of the authority that God has. And he is, someone said he's a rebel ruler operating on borrowed time, a good illustration of the work of the devil. And his power, I think sometimes we take, we don't realize how organized the devil is. You know, everything that God is and everything that God has, the devil tries to create that. And the Bible says that God has, you know, principalities and powers. It talks about various ranks of angelic beings. And then the Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of the world. And so you can look at the message on that. I break down each of these, the principalities and the rulers in the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. I go through each of those in detail, and yet you can look at that video or the audio. He's also a murderer. He's a liar, the Bible says. He is a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth. You are more like God when you are truthful, and you are more like the devil when you lie. The devil is a liar, and he is good at it. And so we notice various scriptures that talk about that. The Bible also, in the book of Revelation, calls him the dragon. Behold, a great red dragon. I think it's kind of how the world has put this picture together of Lucifer, that he's, you know, this dragon in a red suit with the pitchfork and the horns. And that's kind of how people say he looks like. But in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 3, it's not talking about the reality of his appearance, but it's giving us, it's symbolic of what he does in the last days. The dragon speaks of destruction. The great dragon, great, speaks of his influence. Red speaks of the bloodshed that he causes, because he is a murderer and he is a promoter of violence. The seven horns on his head speak of political power. The Bible, seven, speaks of completeness or fullness, and we know that Lucifer will indeed control the whole world. And so we see that he's the dragon. Then we looked at the nature and the character of the devil. What is the devil? What is Satan like right now? He is a created being. He's not equal with God. It's not the yin and the yang that the world kind of presents, that there's God and there's Lucifer, and they are kind of equal, and they fight against each other, good versus evil, good versus evil. That's not true at all. God created Lucifer. He's a created being, and his power is not infinite like God. His power is finite. Satan knows what we tell him. He cannot do whatever he wants. He is limited by what God allows him to do, because Job 1 teaches us that Satan is indeed accountable to God. He is powerful, but he's not omnipotent. He cannot do all things. When the Bible talks about the power of Lucifer, I think that Lucifer is very powerful. I think he's more powerful than any of us. But the Bible focuses not on his power and his might as much as it does his deception, his wiles, right? He is one who tricks, and we see that, though he obviously has power as well. We also talked a little bit about how people become demon-possessed in the Bible. Some thoughts, rejection of God, involvement in idolatry or occult practices, openings created by persistent sin. The Bible makes it very clear, neither give place to the devil. The reality is that if the devil has an inch, he's going to take a mile. And that's why the Bible says don't give him any place in your life, because if you do, it won't be long and he'll have more. And so you need to shut him out. The Bible says the enemy comes, John 10:10, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And that is what the devil wants to do in people's lives today. Demons are influenced by deception, false teaching, false miracles, confusion about truth, destruction, distraction, pulling people away from what God would have them to do. Christ's absolute authority over demons, of course, is shown in the Bible. Demons recognized who Jesus was immediately. Mark chapter 1, verse 24. Demons obeyed Jesus instantly. The Bible says he cast out the spirits with his word. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. Jesus never struggled. He never bargained. He never argued with demonic powers. He always rebuked them. And that's why when the disciples and Jesus are on the Sea of Galilee and there's a great storm, it's intriguing to me that Jesus came to the top of that ship, and the Bible says he rebuked the winds and the waves. And I believe that it was the demonic work in that passage of Scripture. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And his victory was finalized at the cross. The devil is powerful, but he is also defeated. And also I made note, and I want to say it here again, is that Christians cannot be demon-possessed. There is no example throughout the Bible where a born-again believer is being demon-possessed. Now, a believer can be tempted by the devil, a demon can be accused by the devil, and he can even be oppressed by the devil, outward pressure, but he can never be possessed by the devil. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. If you're born again today, the Spirit of God indwells you, and this is important. Jesus taught us light cannot dwell with darkness. And so we are spirit-filled. We are indwelled by Christ, and so we cannot be possessed by a demon. Satan is intelligent, but he's not omniscient. He is very wise. I think today when we think about of all the conquerors in our world that tried to take over the world, none has succeeded, but the devil will. The devil will at one point rule the entire world through the Antichrist, and when a fatal wound is placed upon him, the Antichrist will die, and then the devil will possess his body, and he will be the devil incarnate, and he will rule this world. He will create a one-world religion, a one-world economy, and he will do what many have failed to do. The devil is very wise. If you think that you can outsmart the devil, you're going to lose every single time. He is very, very wise. That's why we need to put on the helmet of salvation, right? We need to protect our minds with the truth. And so he is very wise, but he doesn't know everything. Of course, he is not God. He can move, but he is not omnipresent. I think a lot of people think the devil is everywhere at one time. He is not everywhere at one time. I know this, the devil is somewhere tonight, but he's not everywhere. His influence is everywhere. He has demons everywhere, but the devil cannot be everywhere at one time. And so he operates within the spiritual realm, so he can get around pretty quickly. But the reality is that he is not everywhere at one time. It is real, present, and influential, even though it is invisible. This is the invisible realm or the active spiritual realm that is around us. The unseen realm is where God dwells, where fallen angels dwell, and where Satan works. Satan, we see also about Satan is that Satan is evil to the core. John 8, verse 44 says there is no truth in him. Someone said to me one time, well, what if Satan gets saved? Well, first of all, angels cannot get saved. Their fate has been sealed when they were expelled from heaven. But the Bible prophetically tells us the fate of the devil. There's no ifs, ands, or buts with the devil. We know what happens to him because the Bible tells us what will happen to him. But you have to remember that the devil is evil to the core. In fact, John 8, verse 44 says that there is no truth in him. There's no truth in him. Now, you compare that with the message of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that in him is light. He's the light of the world. In him is light, and there is no darkness at all. And so the opposite is said of the Lord Jesus, that he is completely light and the devil is completely darkness. And so we see in this passage of scripture that Satan isn't a nice guy. You know, I think movies today kind of portray, there's a television show called Lucifer, I believe, that makes him a detective or whatever, and they make him a compassionate guy or a nice guy. That's not Bible. That's not what the Bible says. Satan is not a nice guy. Satan does not have compassion. He's not kind. He does not love you. He doesn't want to help you. He wants to destroy you, and he wants to destroy your home. That's what the devil wants to do. And he won't rest. The work of the devil is that people would die and go to hell. That's what Satan wants, people to share in the same fate as him. Satan is defeated, but he's still active in this world. And so the Bible tells us to be ready, to be prepared. All right, so this is our next section here. That was just kind of where we are. We got to go real quick through this because I really do want to finish this up tonight and put a nice bow on it. The work of the devil. What is the work of the devil? Well, the devil's work is obviously strategic. It's organized. It's always aimed at opposing God. And it is trying to oppose the people of God. Now, some of this is repetitive, so we'll go through it quickly. We know that the devil deceives. The number one weapon of Lucifer is deception. No marvel, the Bible says. Don't be surprised, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. In other words, he presents himself as wholesome and good. Satan never presents himself as evil or wicked or, you know, if you follow my ways, you'll be destroyed. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but they're the ways of death. He never presents himself like that. He presents himself as good and wholesome and right. And, you know, it kind of illustrates for us the Mormon church and how the Mormon church is presented, you know, how they present themselves as they try to relate to Jesus Christ, and then they present themselves as wholesome and focusing on the family and all of these things. But the very doctrines of the Mormon church are corrupt. They don't believe that Jesus is God. And this is how the devil works. He is a deceiver. And then the devil also, he tempts. He tempts Jesus. People say, well, you know, I remember reading one time in a book, they were talking about a certain position spiritually that you can get as a Christian, that you will never be tempted of the devil. I mean, that's craziness. Jesus was tempted of the devil. You're never going to ever get to a place in your Christian life where you are above temptation. You have to always be ready to be tempted. And I believe that the devil tempts us when we are weak, when we're tired, when we are not prepared for that temptation. That's why Jesus told Peter, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. We know that he also accuses. I'm sorry I'm going so fast, but we got a lot to cover here. We might have to do this next week as well. He accuses. He's the accuser of the brethren. We see that in Job chapter 1, Revelation chapter 12. Also, he blinds the minds of unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Notice that the devil blinds the minds of those who believe not. He distracts with the things of the world. Jesus said it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It's not impossible. With God, all things are possible, he says. But it's hard because a rich man trusts in their riches. And so Satan deceives through lies. He deceives through false religion. He encourages people to trust in themselves, to trust in a nation, to trust in their blessings and not the God of blessings. Satan twists the word of God to make it to make meaning out of no meaning at all. He is at work. He is at work. Someone said, why the mind? Because the mind is where truth is understood. It's where truth is understood. And so the devil is there to blind the minds of them which believe not. And sometimes we get so frustrated when we're giving the gospel to someone who may be in religion. And we're like, why don't you understand? And we need to take a step back and understand this, that there's a devil that's at work here. And it's not just them that they're unable to understand, but they're deceived. And within that deception, there is frustration. And so we need to understand the devil is at work. Also, the devil, he oppresses and he influences. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The word oppressed there in the Bible means to be pressed down. It has an idea to be harassed. It has the thought of being troubled or to be burdened. This is not demon possession, but spiritual pressure and spiritual influence. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. Notice what Paul said to Timothy. He said, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who were taken captive by him at his will. Satan doesn't always attack with a roar. He's a roaring lion. He's walking about seeking who he may devour, but he doesn't always present himself as a roaring lion. Sometimes he can present himself in so many subtle ways. Satan is so good at what he does. And if he can get our minds away from God, maybe through endless social media scrolling or Netflix binges or work overload or I'm too busy for God. I mean, if he can get us to step away from the Word of God and to step away from truth and to focus our attention on ourselves, then the reality is he will be successful. Someone has said this in the book that speaks of the devil and his oppression. They said someone is deeply hurt by a family member or church member. Instead of taking it to the Lord, they rehearse the wound daily. It slowly poisons every relationship they have. Pornography addiction, alcohol abuse, another gambling or dishonest in their finances. A believer fears losing their job, getting sick, or facing the future. Fear drives every decision in our life where we can't sleep, where we can't enjoy our family. We are mentally exhausted and spiritually drained. Someone feels like their life has no meaning. They believe lies that the devil presents to them, like God doesn't care about me or I'm unusable for God. And Satan whispers these discouraging thoughts day and night. A Christian constantly compares themselves to others. Well, look at their family, or look at their house, or look at their success. And this, of course, produces envy and insecurities and spiritual dissatisfaction. When trials come, someone starts thinking, God doesn't care about me. This undermines their entire walk with God. There's also music and movies and TikTok videos and influencers can shape a person's worldview more than the Bible. And they slowly their morals shift and sin doesn't seem as sinful anymore. Someone begins to believe they don't need God. They rely on their own wisdom, their own money, their own strength, their own career. And suddenly their heart is filled with pride, just like the sin of Satan. A believer starts watching maybe Bible teachers online who twist the scripture, and they fall into confusion and compromise and doctrinal error. Someone stops attending church because they're discouraged, or they isolate themselves, thinking that nobody cares, and their spiritual strength collapses. A Christian believes God can't use them because maybe of past sins. They live in constant regret, unable to move forward. This is how Satan oppresses us. And this is how Satan oppresses Christians all the time. Every day, this is happening. You know, researchers, I told this illustration before, they've placed dogs in confined environments where they experience discomfort, a mild electric shock, and had no ability to escape. And they repeated attempts to get free, and they failed every time. The dogs eventually stopped trying. They stopped trying to escape. Later, when researchers placed those same dogs in new environments where escape was easy, they could simply just step over a small barrier and that dog would be free. Those dogs never tried to escape because they thought in their mind that they were confined. And the reality is sometimes we believe in our mind that we are something that we are not. And Satan, you know, the Bible talks about casting down those thoughts and bringing all of our thoughts in subjection to the truth of Jesus Christ. Because if Satan can get you to believe something that isn't true, then he'll get you to do something that will harm you or hurt you. And so this is how Satan works. He indeed oppresses. And then also, he initiates false doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Now speaketh the Spirit speaketh expressively, that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, taking heed of seducing spirits," and it says, "doctrines of devils." It refers to teachings or belief systems or influences that originate from Satan and demonic spirits and not from God. These teachings are designed to deceive people, to corrupt, to confuse, and to lead people away from the truth. All false gospels, by the way, originate from Satan. He is the original false religion. Also, he promotes division. Neither give place to the devil. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:27, the devil promotes division in our life. The Bible says a double-minded man cannot stand. The devil knows that. By the way, the devil knows the Bible probably better than we know the Bible. That's how he tempted Jesus. He quoted to Jesus scripture. And the Bible tells us that no man can have two masters. You're going to love one, you're going to hate the other. You're going to despise one, or you're going to cling to the other. You can't serve God and mammon, the Bible says. It's impossible. You can't have two thoughts at one time. You cannot have two thoughts at one time. You're trying to do that right now. I know it. You cannot. You can only have one thought at one time. And you cannot serve two masters at one time. You're going to cling to one. You can try, but you're going to always run to one and you're going to forsake the other. And so Satan promotes a divided heart. He promotes division in family. Satan hates the home. Marriage is a picture of what Christ has done for the church. And I think of, you know, marriage counseling, of all the different types of counseling, marriage counseling is probably one of the most that I do. Satan is there attacking the home because marriage is a picture of what Christ has done for the church. And so Satan hates marriage. He wants to redefine it. He wants to corrupt it. We see that in our world today. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11, it says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." And so The Bible makes it clear that even an unforgiving spirit can be used of the devil. Another thought that the devil is working at is he's hindering ministry. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, he writes to the church of Thessalonica, once and again, but Satan, this is what Paul said, Satan hindered us. I think that often Satan gets blamed for everything bad that comes into the Christian's life. I remember one time I was watching a preacher. He was walking across the platform and he tripped. He tripped on his shoes. And the preacher looked back and he said, "The devil tripped me." And I'm like, "No, the devil didn't trip you. You tripped over your feet." Sometimes we blame the devil for everything that comes into our life. And, Satan is not responsible for every bad thing that comes into our life, because we have three enemies. There's the influence of the world, there's the influence of the devil, but there's also the influence of my sinful heart that we have to take account of as well. And so not everything is the Satan's doing. It could be obviously a demon. It could be the influence of the world. But I do believe the devil and his demons are very active hindering ministry. And when I say ministry, I know the word ministry is very broad today. I mean, everything's a ministry. But I think we can define ministry as the exchange of the Word of God. Okay, when the Word of God is being exchanged, then there's ministry happening. And I think the devil obviously is attacking, and he is fighting against that. He doesn't want the Word of God to be exchanged. If you look at the testimony of Spurgeon used to say that when he stood behind the pulpit to preach, he would have the most despondent thoughts that would come into his mind. And he said he would fight demon after demon in the exchange of the Word of God. And until you stood behind a pulpit and preached, it is not uncommon for a preacher to be standing behind a pulpit and preaching, and then a voice come into their head, who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? And it is more than just the exchanging of the Word of God. It's a spiritual battle. Anytime a preacher preaches the Bible, it is indeed a spiritual battle, and Satan is fighting against it. You're at work and you're talking to someone at work about the Lord, or a family member about the Lord. The devil is there. And when I say the devil, of course, I mean the devil's work, demonic activity. He's fighting against that. He doesn't want the Bible to go forward. He's going to fight against the Word of God. What else does the devil do? He sows doubt and discouragement as well. We see it in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, notice the doubt that he tries to put in Eve's heart, yea, have God said. Did God really say that? That is a question that creates doubt. Did God really say that? Did God really mean that, is what Lucifer is saying. In Ephesians 6, verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The wicked, of course, the wicked one is the devil and all of his demons. And these fiery darts are doubts and discouragements. They are falsehoods that distract us. And Christians have faced it. And I'm sure you faced it. Are you really saved? Does God really love you? God will forgive all of your sin, but he won't forgive that sin. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to discourage you. And I say that because if the devil can get you to question God, you're not going to serve him. You're not going to do anything for him if you're doubting and discouraged. These fiery darts, Satan tries to ignite sinful desires. In Bible days, these fiery darts were arrows that they would light, and they would shoot at the enemy to cause more damage. And Satan throws those fiery darts, because he doesn't want you just to doubt once. He wants that doubt to spread in your life. He wants you to think that you're a failure. You'll never change. You're worthless. These are all things that I'm sure many of us have heard over and over again. And you know, when Satan throws those darts of doubt or discouragement, you know, sometimes there's a sudden wave that comes upon us. You know, I don't know if you've ever just been minding your own business and all of a sudden you've just kind of felt maybe a sudden fear for your children, or maybe about money or about future, or maybe even a fear of dying, and all of a sudden it just kind of comes upon you. The devil is a tormentor, and he uses death to torment people in this world. Sometimes the devil whispers, God can't hear your prayers. Or, you know, maybe you're going through a tough time in your life, and maybe Satan would say something like, God's punishing you because you're a bad person and you deserve this in your life. Or God doesn't care about your pain. And sometimes these darts can come unexpectedly, and sometimes they can come suddenly in our life, and they come with intensity, and they can bring fear, and they can bring lust, or they can bring anger, or they can bring insecurity, or they can bring doubt. And so what's the answer? Well, it's the shield of faith. It's to respond the same way that Jesus responded. And that's with the word of God. This is what God says, Lucifer, and I won't be changed. And he obviously wants us to be distracted, and he wants us to be discouraged in the things of God. Okay, I don't know if we're going to get through this. I really did try. No, we'll stop there. I don't want to rush through anymore. I think this is all good stuff, and I think we need to know our enemy, I think that I probably should have went through this a long time ago, finished it up. But anyway, we'll finish it up next week.